Hello, 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 and welcome to Bus Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We're going to be covering Upstairs, Downstairs, 2010, episode 3, season 1, episode 3, The Cuckoo.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Yes, love that's what we're doing. Music. Oh, sound of music is so good. And it has a Nazi theme, so hey. Hey! Yeah, it's all kind of full circle here.
It's all coming back to me now.
Or something like that. So yes, so we have our usual caveats. Again, it's because we have this upper crust English thing going on. Or just because I feel like it. And they include that there will be cursing for sure in this episode. 100% certain that that's going to happen. That there will be spoilers for this show, Upstairs, Downstairs 2010. Again, if you are into historical costume dramas, especially when set in Britain, you should watch it. This is like The Crown and Downton Abbey. It's a lot of fun. Well, not really.
No,
it's really not. Fun is not the right word. No. It's a drama.
And drama.
It's a drama. We are also having something fun to drink, though. So do you know what we're having to drink now?
We are having what I have proclaimed as the Christmas Star that has Prosecco, elderflower lemonade, and elderflower liqueur Saint-Germain.
It's so good. I like this as a combination. It's a little more spring-like than you think of as a Christmas Star, but it's sparkly and golden and lovely, and that has a tiny bit of relevance to this episode, so we're going with it. We are going with it for sure. So let's get started again with the Nazi waltz theme song.
Oh my god, it's so crazy, especially for this episode, because as I mentioned in the last episode, the recap is essentially watching a poor Jewish woman die of an asthma attack caused by the distress of seeing one of her employers at a Nazi rally in uniform, and her having an asthma attack and her panic attack combined, making her die and asphyxiate.
It's bad.
And people finding her dead and her daughter being orphaned, and then da 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 da. Sorry, that was more Downton Abbey theme. Yeah, it's pretty damn crazy.
There is definitely some bipolar stuff going on with the same song here.
Crazy. Yeah, it's absolute insanity. I don't know why they do that.
I would much rather have the dum 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 dum.
Knew me both. Like it's insane. Like
I know we gave a shout out to the musical people on Downton Abbey.
We always loved that.
Always loved it. Still love it. I'm excited for that movie to come out at some point. We may revisit the movies.
Yeah, apparently Matthew Good's not going to be in it, and he's kind of glad because his character was turning into a bit of a wet lettuce. And you know,
I love that as a term.
According to his interview, those are not my words.
It's hilarious.
I always loved Henry, and you know, I've been re-listening to our Game of Thrones podcast, and I'm almost done. Well, Mom, I didn't really have time today because I was busy at work. But I'm sorry. I'm on like episode 3 right now of season 8, and I'm almost done. So what I'm planning on doing, because I, for whatever reason, whenever I'm re-listening to our Downton Abbey podcast, I stop after either season 2 or season 3 because I know what's coming. And so I, because you know, it's not really going to get much better, but what I'm looking forward to in listening, I'm going to start at season 3. And go forward, because I know that if I started season 1, I'll just stop again. But because I'm like, well, that's done. It's beautiful. I love it. And then we get to season 3, and like I lose some of my favorite characters, and then season 4 through 6, or seasons 4 and 5 in particular. Oh god, that's wow. But I'm really looking forward to re-listening to that, because I do love parts of those seasons, and I want to re-listen to it because
season 4 I remember as being particularly like, what the fuck?
Season 5.
Is it five?
It's five. It's five.
One of them is definitely
with the
worse.
Russian prince, and with all of like Prince Karagin.
It is still better than season five of The Crown. Just saying.
Well, that's an easy bar to clear. But I will say, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I really want to re-listen to it because I know there were parts I liked. Those last three seasons, but in particular seasons four and five, are ones that I don't really listen to all that often, remember all that often, all that much of. I'm good. It's been a really long week and I've had stuff to drink. I'm sorry.
And we are talking about everything but the episode.
Because I'm trying to avoid it! I don't want to talk about Nazis anymore.
Oh, and we're just getting started talking about Nazis. Look,
honey,
tomorrow.
You've got a big storm coming.
I
love that meme so much. I love it so much. It's the old lady going, honey, you've got a big storm coming. I'll have to show you that at some point. It's so funny.
I do need to see it at some point. Anyway,
sorry, continue.
So it starts with the Nazi Waltz theme song. We have Maud bitching about baby names. They're all terrible, by the way. All of the choices for baby names that, I mean, I'm sorry, Hallam is like your starting.
Yeah, Hallam. We have not remarked upon the fact that his name is fucking Hallam.
Well, Hallam and Agnes.
Yeah, because I thought
Persephone and Maud. Oh, come on, Persephone and Maud. None of those names is good.
Percy kind of works Maud. Better. But I do agree. They all suck. You know, everyone else downstairs has like really normal names except for Spargo. And then,
well, his first name's Harry. It's a normal name.
Yeah, that's true. whatever, Harry, Rose, Ivy, Rachel, like, well, Rachel's dead, but you know, anyway, Ivy is trying to play with Lotta, who is the daughter, and has refused to talk. Percy gets a call from Nazi German ambassador and kind of flirts with him in a weird way.
It's gross.
Agnes is interviewing nannies. The nanny that they interview is rather rude and strict. Percy and Agnes are getting photographed by Cecil Beaton, our favorite.
We do love some Cecil Beaton.
He's so dramatic. He's such a dramatic man.
Natalie's favorite.
From The Crown, maybe. The most
from The Crown. Totally from The Crown.
Mr. Amadi is trying to write to Lotta's father, who is in prison for communist behavior. Significant marble strikes again.
What do you mean significant?
Because she's sitting on the stairs. Lotta is sitting on the stairs. And her name is Charlotta, I believe. Carlotta, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotta,
I think. I'm clear.
And they say it at some point, I forget. But Hallam is leaving a room, and Lotta rolls the marbles over to him, and I think they hit his foot, and he looks down, he sees they're the significant marbles that were thrown under the hooves of the horses at the Nazi parade. He doesn't know that, but I don't think Lotta even knows that, but they're significant to us. Anyway, Percy and Spargo are making out and wanting to live on the wild side, and she's doing this. She's clearly.
I want to say this in that last scene. Maud is like, "Oh, the child needs to go to the doctor. She needs to be treated."
Well, she talks about that later.
But no, she talks. She talks about it this early. I wrote it down. So okay. It is a theme throughout this episode until it is crazy.
Percy and Spargo are making out, and Percy's like, why don't you sneak into my room? Don't you like the idea of us getting caught? And he's like, no, I'd lose my job, and that doesn't sound really fun for me.
And she's like,
we should do it. Can you imagine my sister's face when she sees that? And it's just like, okay, you're doing this to piss off your sister now. Okay.
And he starts to realize, I'm being used. Duh! You fucking idiot! I mean, he is a good-looking guy, but still.
He is. Fucking but idiot. He's also a Nazi, Mom. He's not That's that good-looking.
No, see, if he looked like Hallam, you might have a different thought.
You made me spew. That's unfortunate. I hate you. I love you, but I hate you. That was really mean to do that right as I was taking a sip of my drink. And my drink's so full. Stop it. Anyway, I'm already struggling, Mother. So, Hallam talks to Anthony Eden about taking action against the German ambassador before the news breaks about Wallace being a whore, being put up in a house by David.
Not. Sweet Hallam knew this shit.
Everybody knew this. Literally everyone knew. Agnes finds the picture.
We find out though that Percy. Mm-mm. Oh, did you have this whole thing about Percy is asked to leave? Percy then calls her Nazi friend, who is also a hoe. He's sleeping with some other woman.
What? Like,
so Percy and Spargo are having this discussion about, hey, let's get
No, I didn't have any of this written down. I'm glad you did.
Okay, so make sure that I've got it. Oh, no. I'm in the wrong room. I'm sorry. Let's see where you are.
Agnes finds the picture of Hallam and Pamela, his younger sister who died young, and gives it to Hallam immediately, which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
And asks what fever took her. Now she's taking an interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she's turning a new leaf, in a way, kind of. Hallam doesn't know, but he has fond memories of his sister. Lotta is reminding Agnes of the fragility of life, which is making her kind of appreciate it more in a way, but it's also giving her an uneasy feeling.
Right. But so part of what he says, Helen's like, I thought you didn't want to talk about Pamela. And she's like, I'm having all these feelings, you know, I'm concerned about Lotta being here, and that's what's causing me to have these thoughts about Pamela. And he points out that nothing is clear on what happened to Pamela. And this is bothering Agnes, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the Spargo thing. And you can tell that Spargo is getting sick of basically breaking the rules. He's a little over, and he's starting to realize he's being used. So an intercut with this, we see the cook,
Miss Thackeray,
sneaking up to see Cecil Beaton.
She's excited.
She's very excited. Percy is basically laying into Spargo, though, for not believing.
Wait, before then, Miss Thackeray sneaks into the room where the photos will be taken, and a young man calls her his muse, essentially.
No, that's later.
No, it's before the Percy thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And a young man calls her basically his muse and takes her pictures, and it was Cecil Beaton. Surprise! Then Percy's upset with Spargo.
She really thinks he doesn't believe anymore, and basically he...
In the cause.
He hasn't gotten any meetings. In the fascism and whatever.
Oh, no.
And he asks her to leave. He's basically done with being treated like a hoe. She then goes back to the house And it's interesting. I think it must be Maud's study that's got more Eastern furniture and that kind of stuff. And she calls the Nazi, who is the German ambassador, who is apparently also a hoe because he's sleeping with some other woman.
Oh, that Nazi hoe. Yes. I thought you were talking about the woman he was sleeping with.
No.
No. Yes, I do remember that.
We then, at the same time, the Duke of Kent shows up to Helm.
Another hoe.
Yeah, and we don't know all about that.
We looked it up, but we didn't. It's Wikipedia. It's not, real.
Yeah, but there's some of it hinted at in this next season. Hallam and the Duke of Kent have a chat, and the Duke of Kent is very upset because he's wanting to prevent the media splash that will cause David to abdicate. Basically, he knows that David is in love with Wallace, that Parliament's not going to accept her as a queen. He wants his brother to stay on the throne, and he's hoping to curb the media from really sinking their teeth into the story too much, because it will bring everything to a head and they will say, fuck it, and just leave.
Essentially, his MO is to keep David on the throne regardless of the consequences.
Which is
not the best.
It's not a big picture thing. It is not really a brother thing. It is not.
And well, there's a line later that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
Hallam agrees to host the dinner to help them buy time.
Right. The dinner is to invite this media person and
this newspaper guy.
Newspaper guy, Duke of Kent, some other people.
I think it's just them.
It's just them to have this chat about, hey, maybe we can control this Wallace story.
Maybe. Probably not.
Yep.
Anyway, Agnes is upset about how she has to plan the party, and she is almost popped. Hallam asks Maud to help, but she's busy with her book. Mr. Amandine gets a letter from the university Rachel used to work at, and she has no more relatives that they know of, so there's nowhere to send Lotta. especially don't do it in Germany. But Miss Thackeray gets her photograph in the mail from Cecil.
And during this, we've got also Mira or Ivy, who has been blamed for taking food. And she says, oh, I need to give stuff to Lannis.
Yet another fucking Downton Abbey plot line.
Yeah.
But we'll get there when we get there. Hallam has to plan the menu with Miss Thackeray and disagrees with what she says, and she's kind of in a haze and she's not really thinking correctly.
Well, she's thinking about things she likes to make or that are easy or whatever. I don't think she is thinking about putting on a show, which is part of what
it should be.
Yes.
Rose doesn't like the menu, and neither does Agnes, who they both have to fix the menu together.
It's really bad.
And so they pawned it off on somebody else and then had to do it themselves. It's really upsetting. Yep. Rose is upset at Miss Thackeray that she had to pick up after her, and she confiscates the photograph so that she doesn't get distracted.
Yeah, there's this little fight, and Pritchard seems to be trying to get in the middle of it, but failing.
Not trying to get in the middle of it, but trying to like appease everybody, but it's not going to work.
But he sees that Ivy has been sneaking food again and figures out that she's giving it to our old friend from episode one, Johnny.
Season one.
It feels like
so much has happened.
It does.
The pacing is horrible.
Or great. You know, it's very short. They compress a whole lot into three episodes in this first season.
Yeah, but it's like a breakneck pace that I don't know. Anyway, they don't let anything develop like naturally.
Sure.
Anyway, the dinner happens and Maud is basically not beating around the bush at all. Like everyone's trying to be polite, not bring up Wallace or David until they need to.
They get to the pheasant course, the entree, and she's like, "We haven't even talked about it yet. Let's talk about Wallace."
We're on the pheasant course. I think we need to talk about the issue. The elephant, the pheasant in the room. Ivy has been pulling a Carson and giving Johnny scraps from the table. Mm. Pritchard catches them and insists on a real meal, much like Cora did. The newspaper man talks about a compromise with Wallace and not leaking it in the meantime. Mm. Johnny goes home and Pritchard is sad to see him go. There has been nothing in the papers so far. Agnes tells Helen that
been nothing in the papers so far about Wallace.
That
sounded like you were talking about Giant. Like, why would there be something in the papers?
No,
about
I'm
John?
Sorry. I was just reading my notes. Agnes tells Helen that their baby is coming a little bit later than expected. It's probably going to be a Christmas child.
And she's like,
instead of a beginning of December child.
I will tell you that like when you start getting close to the end, it's like, I'm done. I'm ready. I truly appreciate you were a month early. Awesome. Well done.
I knew you were done with this bullshit.
Yeah, done with the bullshit of being pregnant.
Anyway, Maud suggests medical care for Lotta, but Hallam was thinking maybe of just sending her to boarding school. I skipped a whole thing. Hallam hears Lotta screaming in the middle of the night, and he calms her and brings her up to bed. That's why he's concerned about the boarding school now.
Right, because this has been going on over and over and over again, and the servants have hidden it, but not particularly well. And during this whole sequence, again, we've got Agnes with, let's just send her back to Germany. Like, fucking stop it. And in this conversation, in the discussions about sending Lotta back to Germany, Helen's like, look, if we could find her relatives, I would get all of them out of Germany. We need to get people out of Germany, not send people to Germany. Like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And he's fucking right. I love you, Helen.
I agree. Love you, Helen. Ivy wants for Lotta to stay, and so she had her tried to gargle salt water, which is supposed to help your throat, which it does. But swallowed it and it's not good. Hey, and she had a bad taste in her mouth. Percy talks to the German ambassador and flirts with him. Great. Mm-hmm. The story has broken about Wallace and the possible abdication.
Mm-hmm.
Maud had a lot of checked out, but Lotta needs to see a psychiatrist.
According to
Maud. Maud plans to make arrangements for Lotta. She's like, Agnes, don't worry. I've got this. Like, trust Maud.
Well, but here's the thing. At this point, Agnes is so pregnant.
I was about to say, I do agree. Don't put the onus on Agnes, right. Who is about to pop. Like,
at the same time, you know, a little monitoring would have been helpful.
Would have been helpful, yes, but it didn't happen.
That is retrospect.
Retrospect, yes. Lana still won't talk, even for Mr. Amanji, who's begging her.
Like, please just speak for your mother. Come on, so we don't have to send you away.
And she won't do it.
No.
Agnes plays with a puzzle with Lana. It's revealed that Agnes's mother died when Percy was born and felt like she had to bottle her emotions up. Percy snaps for some reason, like, leave the kid alone or something.
Yeah, I think Percy's like, oh, you're blaming me for mom's death. Like,
what she said.
No, it's not even close to what Agnes is saying.
And Agnes, she's starting to turn a new leaf in a way.
She is making an effort with Lotta, which I appreciate.
Yes, I think this is her turning point in many ways. Maud isn't letting Mr. Amanji go with her to drop Lotta off for the treatment. Mr. Amanji writes a letter telling Lotta her story. Ivy gives Lotta Rachel's nightgown and the marbles.
It is sweet the way he writes the story too.
It is. And also Ivy mentions to Rose, who like is like, why are you trying to put that nightgown in there? It's too big for her. She's like, it's her mother's. I've been wearing it. It used to smell like her mother, so I guess it just smells like me now, and I hope that gives her comfort.
Right, and it's so sweet.
Very sweet.
It's sweet.
They send Lotta away, and Agnes has misgivings.
Right.
Hallam is told by Anthony Eden, about the German ambassador visiting the house and calling Percy, and they burn out it's Percy. Hallam is furious and notices Lotta's missing shoes at the staircase, because they mentioned earlier that she always takes her shoes off on the first step.
Right. She takes, even when she's going somewhere else, she leaves her shoes on the first step, I guess, to know where they are. And I know a lot of people have that habit of taking their shoes off when they first come in.
Mm-hmm.
But that is her habit as well. And so he notices that her shoes are missing, but he's got like all of these things he's trying to process at the same time.
He asks Agnes where Lotta is, and she tells him about Maud's connections with a psychiatrist and Hallam is trying to track her down.
Right. He has Mr. Amanji. He goes and he's like telling him, look, you've got to go through every name in this desk because mom's not going to tell me anything about where she took Lotta. So I need the name of everyone who's got a doctor name in there. And he's like, you have to order me.
You have to threaten me.
He's like, I'm going to threaten her because if we don't find this, I'm going to hurt her. And I can understand where he's coming from. It's like, you've just taken this child out of here. So Mr. Amanji must have found a name. And we see Hallam arrive at a mansion house that I guess has been converted to a hospital in some way.
Mm.
He goes in and some woman comes in. She's like, hey, we're not used to having people here. And he's like, he hands his card to this person who comes out. And he says, I need to speak to whatever woman my mother brought here. And they send him up to the top floor, room 9. Yes, she's in there. And he goes up to the top floor and he opens the door and he sees white wool, kind of like a string of white wool.
His sister.
And it's his sister. And
Down syndrome.
Right. There are so many photographs of the family. Like, there's Hallam and Agnes's
wedding. It was actually kind of funny. He says, Pamela, I think I'm your brother. And she's like, yeah, I know who you are. And I said out loud, no shit, dumbass. Like, she has all these updated pictures of you. She knows what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
It was very The Crown. She's
like, I know how you are.
You know that one episode of The Crown where Helena Bonham Carter is looking for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they hug. And while he is sitting there, like, basically meeting the sister, he thought he was dead. They bring Lotta in because, of course, Lotta's there as well. And he's like, there's been a misunderstanding. And so the next thing we see is that everyone's back at the house where they ought to be.
Hallam is upset with Maud, but Maud won't see him. She's locked herself away. Hallam calls Percy a monster. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Percy says she's going to Berlin.
Yeah. Oh, this is how this conversation goes. So Percy is dressing to go out to listen to something with the German ambassador.
The king's address, something like that.
Yeah, the king's abdication address.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, there are monsters in every family's attic. And you know, she's referring to Pamela. And Hound's like, rude. No,
that angel has not done anything.
No, and he says, no, the monster is you.
Amen.
And you need to get out. And she's like, no worries, I'm going to Germany.
You know how in Encanto, they basically...
We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about fucking Percy.
Yeah, we don't talk about Percy.
Anyway, meanwhile, Hallam listens to David abdicate on the wireless.
And everybody's gathered in. All the servants are gathered there.
Meanwhile,
except for...
two people. But Agnes is in the bathroom, sweating. She's clearly in pain. And then she starts having contractions and she can't get out of the bathroom because she's locked the door. And also she's having too many pains. She can't like even stand up straight. She needs to sit down and she tries ringing for the servants, but they're all upstairs listening to the wireless with Hallam.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're using their wireless.
But
so
fortunately for her,
Maud's walking by, and she comes into the bathroom, and Agnes's immediate reaction is, "Why did you come?" And honestly, fair.
Yeah. I mean,
at that rate, this is someone you don't know. She clearly wants her husband's support. She wants a doctor.
She has had nothing but an antagonistic relationship with Maud, part of which is her own fault. But
yes, but.
But, you know, this is not the person she wants when she rings the bell, right? And
right.
So she's like, why is it you? And she tells Maud, I need the doctor. And she's like, we're too late for the doctor. We need to get going. So Maud sets her up basically to have the birth like on the bathroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
As it happens.
Not in the bathtub, but on the bathroom floor.
Right, because she can't even get up to get in the bathtub.
Yeah.
But while she's doing that, and the speech is going on, and Pritchard's just like, fuck it, I'm fucking done with David. I kind of feel that way myself.
That's a gold star for you.
So he leaves this listening session. But he overhears the moaning in the bathroom. And so he knocks on the door. He's like, hey, you need something? And they invite him in.
He says the blood calms him down.
The blood calms him down. He said that he was on the ambulance crews during the war.
Yeah.
And he, you know, is happy to help. And he starts setting everything up. He gets the little cart of forceps and everything else from the other side. Turns out they don't need him.
Because she's being, it's going.
It's going, and it's a little boy.
Yeah, and it's the cutest of him.
He's adorable. He's adorable.
Hallam is.
They name him Hector, though.
That's not too bad. Hector Barbosa?
No, it's like Hector something, whatever the grandma
is. No, I know, I know it is. I was trying to point out like who else.
But it's dreadful.
It's not that bad. It could be worse. Hallam is so happy. They're calling him Hector.
They're so cute.
Johnny comes in and Pritchard will use a favor of Hallam to get him back. You know how your son was born safe and sound? That was me.
So I get to
get my footman back.
Yay! Golly.
And the Duke of Kent calls Hallam and he's upset about the abdication and will have trouble forgiving David. He says, I have no choice but to forgive him because the love doesn't stop.
Right.
That's and, very
right.
sad.
Because Hallam's even
this
saying...
This is the problem with this show. It has some great moments and some great profound lines like that.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just a lot.
The rest is a lot of holy fuck, what the fuck is happening here?
Exactly.
And of course, life has a lot of holy fuck, what the fuck is happening
here. No, that's so true. But like, especially...
And some profound lines. But I think that...
Okay, a metaphor for life, I guess.
I think that... The unevenness is not necessarily what we want from entertainment.
I agree. So we want it to be a little bit more organized.
A little
chaos.
Smoother, yes, a little smoother. But
and if it is chaos, make it count.
Right, but so we get to have a nice closure, though, to this season.
Mm-hmm.
So we see preparations for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And in the preparations for Christmas.
Uh-uh. Maud tells Hallam about her reasons for accepting who Pamela is and how she handled her. That's not handling her, babe.
No, well, but basically she's like, this is what everybody did with a child that they couldn't be quote-unquote proud of. Fuck you.
I will say that her and her husband made the decision together, so she didn't keep it from her husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a blessing.
They were in India. They shipped this child all the way back to England by herself. What the fuck, people?
I didn't say they were good people. I was just saying they made the decision together. And she's like, every big decision we made together. It's like, okay.
That doesn't make it better.
No, that's still bad. That makes both of you bad people. Yeah. Because what the fuck?
But they hit that poor help.
Girl.
What she says is that you were so attached to her that this would have been a hardship for you or something along those lines. A grievance for you. And we didn't want to make that worse by telling you that she was like alive and in a home. So we told you she died.
Yeah, you can't visit her though. What? Huh? Sorry?
Truth is the truth will out, as they say. So.
Shut the fuck, not you, but her. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Not you. I'm talking about Mom.
I do get it.
Mom needs to stop. Anyway, Johnny is back as being a footman. Rose gives Miss Thackeray her picture back to put on the mantle. Pamela and Lotta join the family for Christmas. Lotta is talking now and Yay! Will be going to boarding school and joining the family on holidays, which Agnes insists upon. They light the Christmas tree with a Christmas star and are content with the world for now.
And the decorations are all...
I noticed that Percy isn't there because she makes everything shit.
But this is not shit. This end of this season is actually quite lovely. And so, what were your best parts?
Hallam.
Yeah.
Hallam's great.
I love
Hallam.
I do too.
I love him so, so much. I love our boy.
Yes.
R.I.P. he's not dead, but this character is to me.
Wait. We need to get into season two. He's not dead right away.
Cecil Beaton. He doesn't die next season,
Cecil
I will just
Beaton
say.
Cecil Beaton is like your best person, you fucking
He's serious. Funny. He's funny. Ah. Spargo changing his mind about Percy.
Mm. I need a lot more detail than I do.
Maud and Agnes. I like that they had that moment of camaraderie in a way of like, well, we don't like each other, but we need to deliver this baby. So I think that's probably the best way they could have done it. I would have preferred Hallam being there, but the fact that he wasn't caused more stress. So, you know, drama. Pritchard for liking the sight of blood, I guess. Amanjeet for being so kind to Lotta and trying to help her. It's very sad. And Pamela. I like Pamela.
So I, of course, love Hallam in this. I think he is just like the moral center of the show at this point. Pritchard, I really love in this episode. Agnes, I like in this episode because she grows. Mm-hmm. And I like that a lot.
I will say that too.
I love Pamela in this episode. I did not write down Amanjeet because he's just damn good. And I forget sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I love the ending. I think that sense of things being right with the world, whenever it happens to be very like neatly at Christmas in this. But mm-hmm. whenever that happens is always a good thing. So what were your worst parts?
Percy in all caps.
Yes.
Maud.
Yep.
For sending her child away.
Yes.
And Agnes being dumb about Lotta still a little bit at the beginning. She gets there, but it takes too long.
I would agree with all of that. I didn't write down Agnes because Agnes again comes, she grows.
Comes around.
So I
She shouldn't have to, but she does.
Right. So I gave her credit for that. But Percy and Maud both were pretty awful in this episode. What grade did you give this?
I gave this an A-.
I gave this an A- also. It was A-, B+, and I thought
yeah, I was stuck between the two because I didn't know which one I liked better because I really love the Rachel arc, but this is like the repercussions of it, and
right.
I kind of like the repercussions.
This is how people have learned from Rachel.
Like, Spargo feels guilt, and people are handling Lotta in different ways, and I like what they end up doing.
Yeah, so this is really good. Now, of course...
Except for Percy. Percy doesn't learn or grow ever.
Percy's evil.
Percy's evil.
She's bad. And she's not going to get better because we have season two coming. And again, when you are looking at whether you should watch this show or not, it is very short. It is a total in two seasons of nine episodes. It's really a good, quick thing to watch. It has all of those elements that you look for in a historical drama. It has costumes, it has beautiful people, it has great acting. It just also, it has people you hate, people you love, people you care about. There's a lot to be said for this show. It just, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So we hope that you join us for season two.
Yeah, we do.
Honey, you got a big storm coming. You do. And season two is going to be it. So please join us. And
cheers.